That time I see my my dad's spaza dance moves. Those old, but not even this 90s pantula.
Yeah.
He chungs those pantulas from the 80s. Yeah, like there's a, like you, yeah, you will not see it in your head. You,
yes, it's just, all I see is just falafala.
Brenda Fassi, Fulin Lela on Namibia's Iron Soul. It's 8:11 right now. Now, we've been having a conversation, or actually it started yesterday already, with the fact that we want more healthier relationships, we want more healthier marriages, and if it's healthy at home, obviously that's going to spill over to everything else that we do.
No, absolutely.
In life, Dietse.
Yeah.
That's why we're doing this, okay? And we're talking about premarital counseling. Can it, in a long run, curb gender-based violence and just foster beautiful, sanctioned marriages in Namibia? And we've got Cynthia Rhodia in the studio, just perhaps to contextualize this thing for us, just to make us understand, and like, what is it in marital hute that we unmarried people are even talking about?
Yeah, all right. Hey. How are you doing today, Cynthia?
I am great. How are you doing?
We are great.
Yeah.
It's good to have you here, I promise you.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Really good to be here. Thank you.
Now, I mean, we've been chatting about this throughout the morning. And perhaps also it was inspired from yesterday into today. For 4 year old, treat me like a 4 year old. Please make me understand, what is premarital counseling? ABC it for me, please.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put it as simply as it can get. It's just proper and thorough counseling that you need to go through to prepare yourself for marriage. So if you go through premarital counseling and you realize, man, I'm not ready for this thing.
Yeah.
Then that's okay. It's not a failure. Because the purpose of premarital counseling is also to determine whether you are ready for this thing. Because that's where we go into everything. This is what is required of you as an individual.
But like, what then now? I mean, we've been dating for 4 years, 6 years. Premarital comes. The process reveals that we're not ready.
Yeah.
You know.
I've actually had a couple like that. They were together for, I think, 4 or 5 years. Yes, they were actually even living together. And they said, hey, Cynthia, we're planning on getting married. My boyfriend already saw my parents.
Yeah.
We want to get married. Let's do this thing. So on the third, by the third session, because I have about 10 sessions.
Yeah.
By the third session, you know, that's usually after we speak about the concept of marriage, your roles, you know, gender roles in marriage as well. So by that time, they were like, we're not ready for this. And they separated, and now they're both happy.
They separated?
They separated.
Yeah, but that's actually something that I've heard quite a lot.
Yeah.
That, you know, when people actually go through the whole process, there's a lot that is unpacked and a lot that comes to the forefront, you know, because there's so much of a facade that we can put up, and there's so much of that facade that we put up, especially in dating. And through that process, just unpacking everything, hey?
Yeah.
But Cynthia, do you feel that it is probably a little bit better for people to first go for the counseling sessions prior to even proposing marriage?
I mean, that would be ideal, but like nowadays everybody is in such a hurry, and I don't actually know. I think we need to talk about that at some stage. Hurry of getting married. What is it about it? Because everyone is so like, oh, I'm engaged, I'm married. It's almost like there's this status attached to you. Yes, it's a status, but what is it about your life that, what is it that you're running away from? Why are you in such a rush? But anyway, to answer your question, because I feel like you're looking at me and you're like, no, I need to understand.
Unpack it for him, please.
People need to understand why they get into these relationships. Because initially when we find each other, there's that initial attraction, those chemicals that spiral out of control. And so when those chemicals are there and you act on those chemicals and you then, you know, start sleeping together, you form an attachment. And that attachment, you know, in some instances, some unhealthy attachments actually affect the brain, like drugs affect the brain. So you won't be able to make independent decisions. the executive thinking part of your brain is clouded.
Yeah. Mm.
So now you don't see the red flags. You don't see what's happening. You don't even see your own red flags.
Yeah, yeah.
All you're after is just getting this high, just satisfying this high, just being around this person. And that's why you find people that are in maybe married or long-term relationships, 5, 10 years, they're like, but what happened? I thought I was your person. What happened? It's because those chemicals wore off. Mm. Now you formed the attachment. Now all you're chasing is that high, and you don't even realize that you're not unhappy.
Mm.
So scientifically,
I mean that you're not happy. Sorry. Yeah. Mm.
So scientifically, we can sit here and say.
Mm-hmm.
I want to quickly give you just quick context.
Okay.
I've spoke about this in the previous hour.
Okay.
On Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
We opened up the floor
to
you know, couples that want to just do something special for the loved one on air. And there was one particular case that it just really, it's for some reason, it's a bit concerning for me.
Okay.
Okay. They've been together for 14 years.
Okay.
There are lighties involved.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Mm. They are not married.
Yeah.
And I only found this out on air.
Mm.
And obviously, you know, we try to make light of it and just, you know, like, it's a mess, you know, so you put the ring on. But I was speaking to the lady, by the way.
Yeah.
And so on the backdrop of what you're saying right now, could it be scientifically that in that case, for instance, the chemical imbalance or the lack thereof of the chemical that can alert you of these red flags was switched off for this long?
So if you cultivate an attachment, and if you nurture an attachment, it grows stronger and stronger and stronger. That's why you find people can be so unhappy, but they don't have the strength to leave. Because now it's like, where do I go? You know, have you ever been around, or you know, you understand the concept of people that are addicted to drugs?
Yeah.
They are willing to do anything to satisfy that high, even though it destroys their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, at this stage, this person is so, you know, the concept of bonds, it's almost like you're exchanging yourself, like you a part of yourself is attached to this person.
Yeah.
Right? And so you've cultivated it, and that bond is now so strong that if you had to break it, you actually literally lose part of yourself. That is why the effects of divorce are worse than death. So to answer your question, people need to seek counseling before they take that step. In fact, if you're going to get into a long-term relationship, see someone, understand what is it that you're looking for? What are your values? What are this person's values? What are your personal beliefs? How has this person been conditioned? And how does their conditioning affect you as a person? Guys, it's not just fun and games and, oh, let's just get into a relationship. It's deeper than that.
Yeah.
Because that attachment you're nurturing, no?
Because you know what I'm thinking now, like just pertaining to this situation that NSK mentioned, you know, with the listener saying that they were together for 14 years and so forth. Maybe to tie in with what you said early on, like, what is the rush?
Mm.
The thing is, like, our timeline is not their timeline.
Yeah.
And maybe there's like a lot of things that are also not in place for that person in order for them to feel like, now I can take that step to actually, you know, make this person my wife or whatever it is, you know. I mean, it could be finances, right? It could be you know, maybe just
finances stopping you from this person being your wife.
I mean, okay, yeah, because you know, some people must now, let me, there's this expectation,
that's the common argument.
Yeah, there's this just this whole concept of you have to have certain things in place. For example, there are certain tribes, for example, that you cannot go take that woman from her mother's house unless you've built this, you know, house, big house for her.
Mm.
And, you know, just to show that, you know what, I can actually financially take care of this person.
Yeah.
It could also just be maybe this person just internally have a lot of battles within themselves and they just feel like maybe I'm not ready to take that step.
Yeah.
But also, something that I thought about, I think I mentioned this to NSK, that a lot of the times, and this is something that we as women also do, we give them this plate with all the 7 colors at once, right? So now they already know and they've tasted everything, right? And now what else can you offer though? Because I've already gotten it and I've got the kids. And that's actually a reality for a lot of Namibian women.
Yeah. And it's a very sad reality, because you're giving everything to this person and you're already operating as a wife, as a family.
Yeah.
So there's no rush for anybody to take the next step. And you mentioned something very important. Mm. And NSK also agreed that, listen, this thing is being talked about a lot.
Yeah.
Finances. The financial part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a conversation that we need to have across the board, because families need to be reasonable. We need to be considerate. People want to start their lives together. What are my expectations of this person? Is it not going to cripple them for the next 5, 10 years?
Mm.
That. And also, a lot of people also rely on, and this, maybe people are going to come for me for this, They make it as an excuse. Sorry, my English bundles.
No, it's fine. Let me, Cynthia, go for it. You know why?
Yeah.
Just go for it.
Yeah.
They will not come for you because NSK is strong, bruh.
Is it strong?
Okay. This guy.
Okay, so I'm gonna hold it.
Just hold it.
Okay. Oh, binary habits.
Yeah. So some men actually make this as an excuse. The reality is, the moment you give him marital benefits, he's not going to see the need to marry you.
Because I'm already getting it.
Yeah. So why must I marry you? That's a lot of effort. I'm already getting it with the bare minimum. So what must I do?
Man.
Whoa.
So 3 points that I want us to get back to.
Yeah.
Breakup, divorce is worse than death.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
7 colors on the plate. Being offered in one go,
mm-hmm.
and then men making it as or you standing by your point saying that it is an excuse. The finest, our funds are not in place.
99%
of the time, yeah. It's an excuse.
Yeah,
you're gonna get back to it. You're more than welcome to send us your voice note. In the meantime, we'll also open up the lines in a bit. Stick around. It's 8:22 on Namibia's Iron Soul.
The problem with running a successful business.
Hello there.
Is everyone is?
It is on us. 102.9. Fresh FM.
It is 8:25. Look at me.
Where are you going?
just
where look you at... wanna go, babe?
funny enough. But Cynthia was calling us no about being in a rush. Yeah, I'm just in a rush also with the time.
Hmm.
8:26 on Namibia's Heart and Soul. Thank you so much for choosing us. Certified relationship and love coach and counselor in studio, someone that sits with real life people that come to and say, look, this thing is happening.
Help me.
In Kevin Hart's famous words,
help
me. Look, Cynthia, just we highlighted there's 3 things that we need to get back to. Okay. Breakup, divorce is worse than death.
Mm-hmm.
The 7 colors to Shaquan's point, being offered in one go, mm-hmm. and the finances man making an excuse. I want to start off with the divorce being worse than death.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Humor me here. Humor me here.
Okay.
Generally,
mm-hmm.
who does the most dumping?
You really want me to go there?
Let's go there. Let's go there.
Let's do it.
Because the thing is, in the long run, right?
Yeah.
In the long run, what I see is we need to find solutions.
Yeah.
For this national plague that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So generally.
Okay.
Yeah.
In most instances, men.
No. I mean, like, who ends the relationship? In most instances.
Yeah, men.
Men.
Yeah.
Really?
But yes.
Nigga,
but
I've been dumped my whole life.
Yeah. But women are starting to do it more now. There's the feminism movement and I deserve better and this and this and this. Mm. And there's actually a lot more infidelity cases with women now.
Okay. This is interesting. Shaquan, how many times have you been dumped?
Yo, huh? What did I do?
I'm actually surprised you've been dumped, because my whole life, except for my husband, it was me being dumped.
No, I have been dumped a lot.
Like, yeah.
Are you guys serious?
For real?
Yes.
It's like, then who the hell are these people that I was with? Okay, anyways.
Yeah, we need to talk about that.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah.
Okay, so you see that hurt.
Yeah.
Growing up, Let's just say, you know, some of us, we started very early in primary school. So growing up, piece by piece, small by small, that hurt, you don't necessarily recover from it 100% now, do you? Or you don't even have the maturity to know that you haven't recovered from it fully, right? You see what I'm going with this?
Yeah.
And so you keep on going.
Yeah.
And now we're adults. Now we're at this point. Mm-hmm. We need to get married. Oh, this now, this urgency. And we found our love of our lives and we want to do this thing. But since primary school days, we've been hurt.
Yeah. That actually is a very good point, because a lot of people don't realize that they're suffering from this childhood trauma. Mm. It presents itself when we're adults now, especially in romantic settings. It's just something that romantic relationships do to you that just bring out that stuff. They expose you. So, and it's another reason why premarital counseling is so important, because one of the topics that we discuss is past conditioning. How have you been conditioned? That's when you realize the person that I'm about to marry doesn't believe in love. They just believe in building a family and having children and that. But they don't believe in the affection part of it. They don't believe in pouring into me as I pour into them. Because you've been so hurt, and that's what you believe. Because a human being only knows what they know. They only know what they've been exposed to. So that's what you've been exposed to. You find people that they've never seen healthy marriages or healthy relationships. All they've seen is abuse, cheating, infidelity, all of these negative things. Now you expect that person to have a healthy relationship, especially if this is what they've been exposed to when they were younger.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden, oh no, he's a good guy. No, honey. Let's have the conversation.
She's making a really good point, because what I'm thinking now is just how we also sometimes, through premarital counseling, maybe one of the reasons why people also realize that maybe we're just not compatible is when you start to have those conversations and start to realize that even small things like my love language is not your love language.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always have to be like the same love languages, but the fact that you don't hear or see my love language in order for me to feel like you know what I mean? Because like women, John Kamati said yesterday, we are soft and we're vulnerable.
Had him yesterday?
And we did.
Oh, okay.
So we are softer, we're gentle, and we want to be loved in more softer ways, as while whereby a lot of men feel like, I'm providing, I'm taking care of you. You know, I go to work, I work, and I come home, and I take care of the bills, and I take care of this. That's more than enough.
Yeah, especially men raised in patriarchal societies.
Okay.
Where that male dominance.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. That, I'm in charge, and I as long as I provide for you, you do whatever it is that you need to do for me. I pay the bill, so you don't get to complain that I don't kiss you or hug you. Because what do you mean? You've got a roof over your head.
Hence why, in your experience now, you see that women are more involved in infidelity.
Yeah. Women are becoming a lot more confident and justifying themselves in, I almost said in being infidelis.
Infidelis?
Did you English that?
No, I mean, like that. And there's something with something mentioning that, for me as a woman, I'm not even shocked by the fact that more women are being infidelis nowadays. Genuinely,
more are becoming,
And also sometimes when you look at the situation that they have at home and the situation that they're stepping out on, they're stepping out on with bare minimum.
And then there's someone out there
that
is willing to give them what they're lacking. But now that is also an issue, because we don't want to justify infidelity. This is why, guys, premarital counseling is so, so important. If you're going to make a lifetime commitment with this person, let's go through the process. Are your visions even aligned? There are people that get married and they realize they want completely, completely different things. So how do you build a unit? You can't be married and want two completely different lives.
It has to be aligned, right?
It has to be aligned. Maybe not exactly the same, because my husband and I are completely different. But we meet each other somewhere. We've got, our vision is aligned. Our purpose is aligned. Because marriage has a purpose to it, attached to it, that is bigger than us as individuals. But how do you get there if you don't even have the conversation with a counselor to unpack things? People can pretend, but a counselor is trained to make you aware of certain things. But it is your choice anyway. Some people know it and they go ahead anyway. But that comes from a place of lack of self-love, self-appreciation, self-recognition, self-acknowledgement, all of these things.
Seven colors on the plate. Where you explain how women give everything before the blood diamond is on the finger.
But it's most like an audition, right?
Hectic.
You see, Pestanje.
No, listen.
So you see, so Sinji Marek Noble said, because now it's like, but like, how do I know I'm this is quality that I'm gonna sign up for my rest of my life here? But you cannot even cook.
NSK, can I
ask you?
Cannot
even nurture my child.
No ways. Let me listen, guys. I'm so passionate about this topic. Let me ask you. You want to buy a brand new car. You've got the budget for a brand new car.
Okay.
You test drive the demo. Are you buying the demo?
No, you're buying the original. Okay.
Know your worth.
If you were not this cute, I'll tell you you're too loud, but keep going.
but also at the same time, right? Yeah. I can sit there as a gen and then I can also say, yeah, but Senthi, you're offering.
Yeah.
Senthi.
Yeah.
You are coming to my place, Senthi. You are cleaning my place.
Yeah.
You're doing my laundry.
Yeah.
You're cooking for me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say no.
Exactly. Because you're benefiting either way with minimal effort. Men are hunters. But when the prey presents itself to you, what are you going to do? You're going to take it and eat it.
So do we not then speak to women then and say, maybe offer two colors instead of seven then?
I think before you offer anything, why are you offering this? Who's asking for it? Is he asking for it? What makes you so confident and so comfortable offering this? What environment is he presenting to you? Where can he take you?
Come on.
Don't just get into, you know, relationships because you see potential. So many women get hurt. You must
buy potential. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think the I can only speak for myself and obviously a lot of the sisters that I've actually spoken to. It's just we are so fixated as women. I'm not excluded from this. That's embarrassing, but I'm joking. No, I'm a grown woman stuff. Like we are really fixated on taking on projects.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
We want to take on, because the practical example is like I'm with this person. This person has a lifelong history of cheating on their partners, mistreating their partners. Even the first conversation that we have pertaining to the mother of their child, for example, is maybe mama this and she's this and she's this and she's toxic and all of that. And the way that you speak of this woman, also in that moment, a lot of women don't even realize that you could actually be also the mother of his child and he could speak this way of you.
Yeah.
But I think there's something that clicks in our minds. I don't know what it is. I don't know how to explain it scientifically. But we are like, oh, here's something I can take on. It's a little bit of a challenge. I can change him for me.
That has hurt a lot of women. Let me tell you now, including myself. You see this person and you're like, yeah, no, I'm different from that woman. She's crazy. I'm not. I'll show him that I'm worth it. He must put a ring on my finger. So I'll show up for him. I'll prove how good I am. You don't have to prove it. You then operate from a place of desperation and lack. Like, I need another human being so much. I'm willing to go out of my way to just prove how much they need me so that they can be
validated.
Yeah. And we need to have, in NSK said, should we then speak to the women? I think we need to speak to both men and women. Because some men attract that.
Who should speak to the men?
To say, don't accept the seven colors.
Whoa. Because, I mean, are men, and partner, maybe you can tell us, right? Are men really ready for that conversation? Because we are defensive in our own way.
Yeah.
Like, check, Shay is, you know, all matured and grown, and she's done a lot of work on herself, and I can sit here and admit on the very things that I, you know, still lack and need to work on and so forth, right?
That's,
my shortcomings
that's
and
powerful.
So forth. And I still don't have a husband. Ah!
And and that's okay, because, and let me tell you why that's, you know, working on yourself. Because when we constantly operate from a place of lack, that's what's going to be amplified. The lack.
Yeah.
I don't have a husband. And you constantly operate from that place of like, you guys know about the law of attraction. The law of attraction is basically just faith. I believe in faith, but they call it law of attraction. But anyway, it is what it is. Principles are the same.
Yeah.
There's also what we call the law of detachment. When you detach yourself from what you've attracted, chances are very high that that thing is manifested in your life. Why? Because when you... I want a phone, right? I'm praying for a phone and I get it, right? I'm not going to behave like I don't have that phone anymore. I'm not going to keep asking and praying for it. I'm going to operate like I have it. You get it?
And that's the dysfunction, isn't it?
No. Let me explain.
Yeah.
I hear her.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yes, 100%.
In this case, that, let's go back to that car.
Okay.
You want the car. You work hard for the car.
He wants a Jeep.
Everything. Yeah. Oh, a Jeep. Okay, yeah. May you have it? Yes, sir. So you know, you work hard for it, you pray for it, whatever it is that you do, you get into deals just to get this car. You get it. Are you going to behave the same way? Are you going to behave like you don't have it? Are you going to behave from a place of lack? Are you going to behave from a place of, you know, I'm desperate to get this thing?
Or have it most.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I need to act like a Jeep owner now.
Exactly.
Yeah, move even the way I walk and stuff. Exactly. Thank you so much.
Exactly.
Put the key on the table, I spit it everywhere I go.
Yeah. That is what I'm trying to say. A lot of us women operate, and maybe even to an extent men, but we're not ready for that conversation, operate from a place of lack. I don't have this man. I don't have a man. I don't have. And you amplify, whatever we amplify, whatever we focus on in life amplifies. So you amplify that lack because you keep focusing on it. And subconsciously, your actions are driven towards that lack. So you begin behaving like you really don't have, like you, it's really like, and it's a sad thing. And I encourage women, guys, and this is from practical experience, guys. One day I will share my story to the world. But for now, I will say I had to begin operating from a place of I'm okay with myself. I love myself. I appreciate myself. I enjoy my company. I don't really need anybody because remember, men need women. Women don't need men.
We don't.
That is an incredible statement right there.
Yeah.
We don't.
Women don't need women, but we need women.
Women don't need men.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but men need women.
Okay.
Yeah. You guys cannot function without us.
That balance, yes.
Yeah. But we can. In fact, to be honest with you, partner, we as women thrive more without a man in our life.
That's debatable. To an extent.
Both points are debatable, though.
Yeah.
Both points are debatable.
Okay.
Okay, but let me hear you. From, let me okay. hear your
and then we'll
your reasoning.
Your perspective. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I don't know. For those that believe in the Bible, biblically, that's there. That a man needs a woman, and I've actually seen men that have been married for many years. The moment their wives are not there, they can't function as well. They just don't function.
Yes, I've seen
have
that.
Have you
yeah.
seen that?
Yeah, my dad, dude.
Yeah, that's what happened. Men need women, but. Women, I don't know, what is it, societal pressure?
Yeah.
We have now been put in a place of, oh my gosh, I need a man.
Yeah, because the people on Instagram, the pictures must look nice there.
Yeah, no, but then for what? You need to understand why you need what you need. Otherwise, there's no basis for it. And maybe there's a reason why you don't have it now. We only get what we are ready for.
Shouldn't the argument be justifying why we need each other?
That's a good one. That's why I said we need to understand why you need what you need. Many a times we're just like, oh, I need this, but for what? What is satisfying this need going to do for your life? What is it about this need being satisfied? Where do you want to be? You see, we fail to have conversations with ourselves, understanding, okay, my life, this no me liver, where do I see myself in 5 years? Let's have that conversation. In 5 years from now, how are my habits in alignment with where I see myself? And that includes my romantic choices, my romantic partner. So there are things that I want in my life and I don't have them yet. And I look at myself and I realize this is exactly why. We don't get what we're not ready for.
We're not brave enough to admit that to ourselves.
We're not brave enough, yeah. And the moment you're not brave enough, you operate in denial. When you operate in denial, you are just stagnant. Growth comes by accepting, admitting, having those painful conversations. Growth and pain, same WhatsApp group.
Yesterday. That's why they say no pain, no gains, guys.
Yeah. That's one.
Yeah. 8:43 on Namibia's Heart and Soul. Stick around. We will open up the lines and we'll also check out your voice notes in a bit. Stick around.
My dream is pure. I see
thoughts and prayers during this difficult time.
Thank you so much. It's 8:46, counting down the days before we say bye to our beloved president. That's Dr. Hage Kingop, which will be the actual funeral will be this Sunday, but obviously the mourning process already started, and it will amplify from us from Friday, Saturday, and with the public holiday just for that purpose on Monday. We're still continuing our conversation on Namibia's Heart and Soul. Can premarital counseling curb gender-based violence in the long run, and in the long run foster a beautiful culture of love and respect in marriages? We've got also Cynthia Rodia in the studio, and she's just helping us, especially Shekwan and I, who still need to make that big step,
Maybe I want to be by myself.
Maybe you want to be...
Maybe I'm joking.
Okay. So the helicopter must not be delayed.
And not even that, Cynthia's... If you're operating from a place of
yes, you know, that's why I was so quiet when she was singing. I was like, yes, Cynthia, be loud. You've got a good voice note here from Aputi Bradley. Let's quickly listen to what he says.
Good morning, NSK, Shekwan, and the guest. Definite premarital counseling can curb the divorce rate, the gender-based violence, and all types of, should I call them, misfortunes that people experience in marriage. Why? Because, you know, there is this facade or this fairy tale being sold about marriage that everything is perfect. It's a happily ever after searching for the one and the Mr. Right, that happily ever after, everything is going to flow like milk and honey, and then you jump into marriage and you see, yo, there's a whole lot of mud that is happening. This guy has been raised by a single parent. This girl has been raised in what we'll call probably a spoiled home where both parents were on point and giving her all she wanted. And the single guy, or the one that was raised by the single parent, would not have all types of luxury on his disposal, you know. So they get to clash. There gets to be a lot of headbutts. There get to be a lot of cultural headbutts, ideology headbutts, a lot of differences being revealed. And one thing about marriage is that it will reveal things about you that you never knew that were in you, you know, because marriage will test you to a place and to a certain extent that no other friend or a mother or an uncle has pressed you. Mm-hmm. You know, the wife or the husband has that ability because of the love and the connection that you guys share to be able to poke holes in things that you thought were covered. So premarital counseling will be able to reveal the things that you can expect in marriage, things that can go wrong, things that you should expect, things that you will have, you'll be empowered with knowledge to better understand. You may not accept what will be coming, but you will understand what's happening. So understanding is now the beginning for you to navigate out of whatever predicament that you guys will find yourselves in, instead of resorting to fighting and all sort of things that we don't want.
Cynthia?
This sounds like a very married person. And he said it so beautifully because, and I agree, premarital counseling, you know, it doesn't take the issues away. It helps you navigate. But also it helps you realize, am I ready to deal? Okay, let me say it like this. Everybody has weaknesses. Mm. You've got to realize which weaknesses you're willing to deal with and which ones you're not for life. So premarital counseling seeks to also guide you through that process. And he's right when he says marriage isn't perfect. There are times when my husband is like, you become a love coach.
Yeah.
And I get, because we all have our things, man.
Yeah.
So it's not. But what premarital counseling does, it gives you the tools to be able to resolve that conflict. When you're faced with this situation, how do you communicate? How do you resolve this conflict? There's a difference between, the difference between healthy and unhealthy relationships is how you fight. Because conflict is essential for a relationship to grow. But only healthy conflict can make a relationship grow. Unhealthy conflict is corrosive to the relationship. It breaks the relationship.
When you say unhealthy, unhealthy conflict, yeah.
So that's the aggression, the manipulation, the control, the jealousy, the rage, the physical harm, the emotional abuse.
The unkind words.
Yeah, the unkind words. And people think, yeah, I was angry. It was quite... No.
Yeah.
No. I always say, and what we do in our premarital course is that even when you're angry, always operate from a place of love. Because you love this person. Yes, you're angry, but you love this person. And the tools are there to guide you through that.
I'll be very honest with you as gents.
Mm-hmm.
We... And I say we because I've been guilty of it as well, you know. And I mean, snap. and the gents are more than welcome to disagree with me, to call and send a voice note.
Yeah.
But we've largely been guilty of fighting in an unkind manner, and then the next day when we say sorry, we expect that sorry to be sorry, and then we move on. And in my experience, that sorry is not enough.
Yeah.
We need to talk about it.
Yeah.
And that's where we get uncomfortable as men. Why must we? Sorry. You know, now you want to delay the thing and whatever.
Yeah.
And I've had to learn the hard way.
But I have so much respect for you right now for even admitting that. A lot of men don't. And that speaks volumes of the kind of men that you are. Because for a man to sit and say, yeah, no, but sometimes you can really be unkind. That means you've got the ability to love a woman softly. Because women need that.
Yeah.
And all of us have different apology languages. For me, don't just come and say sorry. Sit me down and say, listen, Cynthia, I was really upset. You know, I admire you, I love you, and I don't want to hurt you. Put some flavor, man,
and tell
in
me
the apology.
Tell me what you're sorry for.
Yeah. Tell me what you're sorry. But also on the part of the women, like, people make mistakes. That's why. Choose the weaknesses that you're willing to deal with. Because if somebody makes a mistake and they say they're sorry, also extend grace because you make mistakes too.
Yeah.
I know women can be extremely manipulative. Manipulation is a very dangerous form of control.
Yeah.
It's actually emotionally abusive.
And absolutely. Funny enough, Abudi John yesterday, he did highlight that, yes, men and women in its physical form, you know, look, his theory, he was saying, just, you can correct me, Shaquan, we're equal the way he sees it. It's just that both parties and both genders have their strengths.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And emotional strength
is
something that women have.
Yes.
And that's where we lack. And that's where the manipulation is stronger, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can correct me if I'm wrong.
Women know how to manipulate very well. Women are very strong. Women are by far the most influential beings on earth.
I'll accept that.
So a woman, that is why that, what is that saying? Hell hath no fury as a woman scorned.
Based.
Yeah.
Yeah, trust.
Guys, go for counseling and figure out how to navigate. Use your strengths for the strength of your relationship.
And you know, when it comes to just counseling in general, would you advise just people who are in relationships, even though they haven't taken the step, to actually come forth for counseling?
I think so. I believe so. Have the conversation with a counselor. Even if you're not in a relationship and you're looking to get into one, start. If you've got some deep childhood wounds, go for clinical therapy. Go to a psychologist. Go to a social worker.
Yeah.
Speak to somebody that can help you uncover these things and recognize, oh, this is what I have to deal with. This is what my partner would have to deal with.
I want to put the scenario to you guys just real quick.
Because you are what your relationship is. Sorry.
Yes. Sorry, just quickly repeat the last sentence. You are what your...
You are what your relationship is.
A relationship cannot be happy if you are not happy. A relationship cannot be healthy if you are not healthy.
Yeah.
That's why when there's fights or when there's uncomfortability in a relationship, you just feel all choked up. Your whole world just feels weird.
Yeah, but that comes from what you are. You pour into it. So you cannot have a healthy relationship if you are not healthy.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay. Put a scenario to you.
Practical
scenario. Just... what Shaquan asks you.
Okay,
so I meet a girl.
So
I meet a girl, you know. Start chatting.
Okay.
It's nice.
Hmm.
And when I see now it's not nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, okay, you know what, nah? I actually see something here now.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the point? Is that not at that point where I say, hey, listen, let's go visit Cynthia Rodia just for a session.
Okay. That would probably startle somebody.
That's what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
That would be weird.
Yeah.
That would be a bit weird.
That would probably startle somebody. But if you're both, you know, on the serious path and you want to take things
level.
Seriously.
Yeah.
If you're mature, you say, listen, I know this thing has been frowned on so many times. There's a lot of stigma attached to that. But I want to do things right this time. Let's just see somebody, see where we are, see if we're compatible, see, just let's just have the conversation.
So that we don't end up wasting each other's time.
Yeah, come on. That is actually a really good point.
Yeah.
Wow. Something's must, she's not leaving now. Can we still continue in the next hour?
Yeah,
man.
Yeah,
no, just, you know.
Why?
But, you know, the guy who actually sent the voice note, he says, not the guest saying this guy sounds like he's so married. Yes, I am. Going for my fourth year in marriage.
I can tell. You can just tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what I wanted to bring to the table before you leave, Cynthia? It's just, you know, this Instagram married couples, the YouTubers and so forth. Do you feel that to a certain extent, they have also created an unrealistic expectation?
Expectation, yeah.
Yeah, of what marriage is, because it's just overly glamorized. And we've spoken about this. Oh, and you know, I'm married. I miss this.
Oh.
Indirectly putting a pressure on the two of them at the end of the day.
Take it from me.
Yeah.
It's not always what it looks like.
Yeah.
There are times, take it from me, there are times where I post a picture of Norman and I.
Yeah.
And
Norman's
I'm just recovering from an argument with him, and I have to reply to comments. Oh, it's so nice. Girl, it's nice. There are things people deal with, real things in marriage. Yeah. It exposes the inner part of you.
Mm. Is that not perhaps maybe also make, you know what? Just hold on.
But it can be beautiful too. It can be beautiful.
I was about to get there. Just a twist of thought here.
Yeah.
Yes, you're recovering from an argument, but perhaps that is your form of. Of reminding yourself that this person is
still your person,
of and
course.
And then you still love this person. So even replying, oh Shiveli, oh my god, it's so nice, Shiveli, oh my god, you got with the year. Is that not maybe also a process of healing from that argument?
It is
in a very twisted way, though. I mean, you know what I mean. But
yeah, it is. You appreciate what you have, and that's what we need to do. Couples need to appreciate each other in the good times and the bad times.
Hmm.
But what I'm trying to say is. It's not always rosy. Don't believe the perfect pictures. It's not always rosy.
Shekwan, please prepare the email because Cynthia needs to stay 5 more minutes.
Okay.
It's 8:59 on Namibia's Heart and Soul.
I'm typing Shekwan, it right now.
Shekwan is going to cover me. Stick around, Cynthia will be around for 5 more minutes.
Breakfast with NSK and Shaquan.
You're the reason I get up every morning.
It's 9:05 for Namibia's Heart and Soul. Thank you so much for choosing us. This is where radio comes alive. I have one question.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe two.
Okay.
Shaquan, how many do you have?
Okay, I'll narrow it down to two.
To two?
Yeah.
And then Cynthia's gonna like close it off for us.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Okay, sure.
This the element of socials, Osisanti.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
How important is it? I've had to learn of late that socials are exceptionally important.
Mm-hmm.
But I was so old school with it. Like,
okay.
You know, what do you mean I'm not posting you enough? Or what do you mean I should like repost your stuff? Or what do you mean I should be on your socials affirming you? Just be through, man. Because your man. You know?
Cynthia, sorry. Mm-hmm. Petty Kwan is going to come up.
Yeah.
Because.
Oh, Petty Kwan.
I mean, we've left it in the past, you know, because now we're evolving to Proverbs 31. But still, she's somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this is one of the habits that a lot of men have, right? They, like in the courting process, they're all over your socials. Ladies, I know you know what I'm talking about. They're all over our socials and everything that we say. They're interacting with us, whatever it is. The moment that we give in, they don't even view our stories.
Yamos.
It's not...
What do you mean, yamos?
And it's... and you know what really pains is the fact that your person is not even interacting with you on social media anymore. Because, I mean, it is a part of relationships nowadays, right?
Yeah.
But then you see them just, who liked who's picture? who is she? Then the problems must start.
Sinje.
The suspense.
Yeah, I had to learn the hard way. But the importance there of maybe, maybe there's another old school guy now that's also sitting there. And, you know.
No, social media has really been the leading cause of many, many arguments and disagreements in relationships. Mm. I think just have the conversation. Manage your expectations. Know who you're dealing with. Yeah. Some men really go overboard to prove that I want you. And when they have you, they're like, okay, I'm not going to put in the effort anymore. And sometimes that really happens even in marriage. Mm. Like in marriage, this guy used to do all of these things and now 5 years, 7 years, 10 years down the line, he's not. And that's... You just need to be intentional about serving your partner in the way that they want to be served. Mm. This is why you need to have the conversations. We, in premarital counseling and relationship counseling, we also talk about effective ways of communication. Mm. Communication is not just me telling you what I need, but it's also you being able to receive that information and being able to apply what I need.
Mm.
And that will help us essentially manage our expectations, for us to have reasonable expectations. Things change, people change, circumstances change, work, life, everything.
Yeah.
So having those circumstances changing now, can I still be the person that I was when we first met?
Mm.
So we need to be able to have these conversations and understand what am I willing to compromise on? What am I willing to take? What am I not willing to take?
But are you still the same person that I met, because that is a person that I fell in love with?
Of course. It's just that circumstances are now different and I respond differently to different circumstances.
Yeah.
Because we are different as human beings.
Mm.
Do you know on Valentine's Day, my husband said to me, no, we're going to do a private thing. We're not posting anything today. Mm. And it was hard for me. But I was like, oh, okay. He cooked for me everything I wanted to show. He's like, no. So that in that day, I was very upset. But then I learned that, no, man, there's more to life than socials, man.
Yeah.
Those people on social media, they're not going to be there at night when I'm crying myself to sleep. They're not. So why must I please them?
Mm.
The motive matters.
Because at the end of the day, it puts a weird expectation on the two of you, isn't it? And now,
all
of a sudden, you feel this weird weight.
Yeah. Are you for each other or are you for the people?
Sinji.
Sinji. Let's just be real. Yes, it's nice to see. Yes, it creates an expectation when other people post their roses and whatever. But, like, come on. Let's be grown-ups for a second.
Mm. Yeah.
Are we for each other or are we for the people? Because those people, they're going to like your pictures now. But then they don't add to the quality of your relationship.
But you know what, Ne? This is also something that maybe, like for me, to be honest with you, if I was not in the line of work that I'm in,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be on social media. I know that for a fact. I would not be on social media at all. And I would appreciate a man or a partner who isn't also big on social media. Like, I don't necessarily want to be, shoved with a camera in my face and whatever it is. But also what it is, this is something that I probably want my Mrs. Who sisters there on the Instagram platforms and so forth to understand. Every time that you post what your husband is doing for you, I want people to really also understand that you are enticing a lot of women out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are a lot of people who... maybe you must also just marry to my soulmate, but it's most temporary. So I gotta find a way to step in to take my person from
100%.
You. So you're enticing people with what your partner does for you, because I'm also like, I also want some of that.
Yeah, because why must she can't be happy? I must also be happy. So I need to, I need to get that from her. I deserve it more than she. That's how women think. Some women, sorry.
And it happens, isn't it?
It happens.
Where as men, we can be so stupid and blind. Where now the other one now who also wants her happiness must now also
and she's the one who's under your comments with your person.
Yes.
Oh, well, it's so nice. Yes. Oh, what fair 199 baby. Who we know them.
Yeah.
Even sometimes when I just scroll through, our socialites as we call them on social media, if I scroll through their comments when they post their husbands and so forth, and like there are times that I look at some people and I'm like, but babe, I know you. Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. Celebrate their love.
Yeah.
So it's a scary world.
It's very scary. And also things change. When I got married, I was never really on social media like that. It happened 2 years into it.
Hmm.
Now this man is like, but like, you weren't like this when we got married. But now I'm like, I'm now the love coach, But then he brought me back to reality, like, yes, you are the love coach, Ne, but some things are better off social media. Mm. Off.
Mm. And my last question to you is, early on, you said that men use finances or could use finances as an excuse to popping the question. Walk us through this. That's the common thing that we put on the table to say, "Ami bro, chingasi
khariati." Okay.
She wants the lobola, the, you know, the, the house must stand, the you know, the car must be ready.
But then you have money to go sit at the car wash and buy bottles.
Exactly.
That's only gonna cost me $1,000.
$1,000 on a Saturday, $1,000 on a Sunday, and then the other Friday $1,000. Come on.
No, I mean, you know, we wash our car, you know.
Okay, din.
Like.
And I think that's a very good point because I was gonna say you work for what you really want. If you want it bad enough, you're gonna work for it. Like you wanna hang out with the boys every Saturday and you have a budget for that. If you really want it bad enough, you'll work for it.
Come on.
And if you want to negotiate, like, ma'am, I really want your daughter, or sir, I really want your daughter, you're gonna if you want to do something, you will do it. We have that ability as humans.
If you want a job, you work for it.
When you get the job, you work for that promotion, or, you know, the better opportunity and so on.
So women need to identify these things. Don't just be lured by words. Hmm. Identify the actions.
Yeah. And NSK's sexy voice.
Yeah.
Shekwan.
Yes.
Your thoughts.
You
said you also wanted to throw something to
you. Yes. Lost my train of thought a little bit, but it's fine. Mm-hmm. I think we've definitely covered this to a great extent. But so many people are... enticed by Cynthia and they want to get a hold of Cynthia.
Okay.
How do we get a hold of Cynthia to make use of your services so that you can establish and to determine kusha? Mm-hmm. Is this person for me or is this person just rubbish?
Okay.
Because we've established now from this conversation that premarital can help curb gender-based violence in the long run and any other social issues that comes with
even the high divorce rates.
Oh, that's another one. People can find me on social media. That is on Instagram. You can, if you don't have Instagram, you can Google Cynthia Rhodia. It'll pop up. My contact number is there. My email is there. Find me there. Email me. Text me. Please remember to text me. You're going to get a faster response if you text and not call. And you can email me as well. But if you feel like you don't have time to text, you can also call. There is an option for calling. And we can talk about setting an appointment. I only do my sessions online. Video calls, it works better for me. It's faster, it's convenient, it's easier to manage. And I think it's also because I see a wider audience even out of the country. Germany, Netherlands, Botswana, Angola. So it's just easier for me to manage. So that's where people can find me. And just to mention and for clarity, I'm not here to tell you whether somebody is for you or not. I'm here to guide you for you to make informed decisions.
On your own. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
And I there's a lot of people on our WhatsApp line.
That's true.
Kandali, there's a lot of people that were reacting to you. Even the silent listener, I can tell you right now, took away a couple of nuggets. Let's leave it at that. It's our contribution to the month of love, having this type of conversations. Here's Boss Madame. Netsu, stick around.
Fresh Breakfast on Fresh 102.9.